When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
You're listening to The Sound of London. This is Londonist Out Loud. I'm Anne Quentin Wolfe, and today we are striking out into the capital in search of one particular ingredient, and it's one that's been popping up on menus here, there and everywhere. It's trendy, it's flavourful, and it provides a good excuse to look into one or two places in London that we might not otherwise have cause to investigate. We're off to find out why a Japanese green tea is popping up in all sorts of unlikely places.
Hey baby, let me take you down to a place of strange sights and sounds. You ain't never seen the like before, just a stone's throw from your front door. Hey baby, step out of me, see a piece of air, land and sea. Some creep, some saw down the road, jam brand store.
My heart aches for some far off place.
Well, hello, hello. We are on Tottenham Court Road in an area where a half-baked market is attempting to get underway. I think this is it's not a very good market. I'm not sure what's going on there. There's some crates. There's some two or three people standing around talking about bikes.
Yeah, I think it's just a small sort of pop-up market, but nothing. I wouldn't even call it a market.
It's barely popped up,
has it? Yes. Sometimes they use this space for such occasions.
This is Yannick Pucci. You may remember him. We have been on an Art Deco tour of London before. If you're interested in that one, and you should be, then a link will be popping up now. If you're listening via Acast, then a link will appear. And Yannick Pucci has appeared, and I really don't know what I'm letting myself in for today. I know that we're starting our tour in more or less the same place that we started our last one, but I think we're not going to be looking at the buildings today.
No, today we are going to have a look at some secret spots, but we're also going to explore food. Today we're not doing an Art Deco tour, but we're doing one of my food tasting tours. And so the whole concept behind those tours is sort of to explore the hidden sort of corners of an area of London while sort of sample some of the sweet treats that we can find along the way. But the tour that we are doing today, it is quite specialised because we're sort of exploring Fitzrovia and Soho through the medium of matcha green tea. So matcha is finely ground green tea powder, and it's very popular in Japanese cuisine, and it's slowly becoming more popular here. So in the last couple of years, you certainly saw more places, you know, sell it as well as use it in their food and as well as in the drinks, for example. But
so are you making drinks out of it? Because it sounded, at first description there, it sounded a little bit like instant coffee.
It's drinks and food, so it will be used in both. So the green tea originally went back to the traditional Japanese tea ceremony, but then it sort of became adopted in general cuisine as well. And sort of in the last decades, it's been also growing in popularity in Europe and the rest of the world, and pastry chefs have adopted it all across the globe.
Can I just check in with you here? Because this isn't a question I need to ask every guest, but having established you in my mind as an expert on Art Deco architecture, I find myself thinking, what the hell is your interest in this green tea that leads you to have that as part of your career?
Doing this tour, yes. Well, I must admit I do have a sweet tooth, so that's what probably got me onto that path, but I have a strong interest in Japanese culture, so I sort of discovered matcha a couple of years ago. And the idea for this tour really came while chatting with a friend. She is running a magazine called I Love Japan, and she's a photographer, and part of her university project was sort of to photograph people who have an interest in Japan. And we met up one day at Holland Park, where also gift tours of the Japanese garden. And afterwards, we went for a drink. It was a matcha latte. And suddenly, Emily, she suggested maybe I should consider doing a tour sort of centered around matcha. And at first, I was a bit skeptical, but then I took up the idea and I was already plotting out a route and thinking of places you could go to. And here we are, another one of those crazy ideas. But here with the matcha tour, really, you need to like the flavor. You need to commit, because if you don't like it...
Yes, I'm a bit worried about that.
Yes, so you've got me worried as well, because you told me you have never really tried matcha as
I've never tried matcha. I'm not a tea drinker.
Yep, okay, well, we should have discussed this before, but there we go. We'll see how we fare today.
Take one for the team.
But yes, you'll take one for the team, but I won't force you too much. But
that sounded much more menacing the way you said it.
That was my intention, really, so there we go.
Just because we're starting here, and this is off-piste, really, as far as the theme of the tour goes, the name of this area that we're sitting in is...
Whitfield Gardens.
And it's not really a gardens, it's paved, although if we look behind us, we can see a couple of trees and
it
a few shrubs.
It's misleading in that way.
It's the best we could do.
Yeah, and people often sort of expect a garden to be here, but I think there used to be one, but a lot of World War II bomb damage happened, and that's also why we have sort of that single house, I think, standing there at the back of
us. Yes, it's like a sore thumb, isn't it?
Yes, exactly, and it's a bit sort of quirky standing here.
So now, what about the mural up on the wall there? Do we know anything about
this? Yes, that's...
Let me just describe it, and we're going to get some photographs of it as well, again on Acre, so you can see what we're talking about. If you're not looking at that right now, it is a mixed mash of all sorts of different people. I believe I'm seeing Ozzy Osbourne there, but I think it's just a woman with sunglasses and dark hair. There's a vampire. There's gratuitous nudity. There are people pointing. There's a DJ. Well, this looks like a fairly a representative cross-section of the local population.
Yes, and that's really what it's all about. The mural, it's known as the Fitzrovia mural, and it's actually dating back to 1980, and it was done by two artists, and they were named Mick Jones and Simon Barber, and it took them about 6 months to complete this mural, and it was commissioned by Camden Council, and the whole idea was really to sort of celebrate the whole community spirit of Fitzrovia. So as you sort of pointed out, you have all those different figures, the characters, and they're sort of trying to embody this very sort of cosmopolitan spirit of Fitzrovia. But there are also a few sort of notes of humor onto it. So you'll be able to recognize, for example, hospitals and nurses here and there. It's, of course, linking it to UCL, all the different hospitals and all that is going around. But you also picked up quite correctly on that very menacing sort of Dracula figure at the top. And that is actually meant to represent, as far as I know, Horace Cutler. And back in the day, he was the leader of the Greater London Council, and he's sort of responsible for the whole redevelopment of Fitzrovia with all the big office buildings. So he wasn't really a very popular figure back in the day, and I think now you've got your answer why he's been depicted as a sort of vampire figure up there. Well, I have a feeling we could put up different politicians these days up there, but I think... for the sake of keeping this podcast clean, I will not be referencing a certain sort of situation which is going on in Spitalfield, but I think I just did, so there we go.
Intriguing.
Intriguing.
Intriguing. We need to turn our attention to tea. I'm going to resist easy puns the whole way through this podcast. That's official.
Go with puns, you know. I don't mind.
No, I will not. I refuse.
You refuse.
Where are we going first?
Well, we're first going to explore a bit, and we are heading to a Vietnamese-French-style fusion bakery, which only opened up last year, and it's near Gurch Street, and there will be able to taste a matcha croissant, for example, or maybe a matcha brownie, depending on your preference, and we'll discuss that as we go along.
Well, let's get going then. It sounds as though there's matcha to see.
Oh. And there we go.
So, down Tottenham Street. I didn't know there was a Tottenham Street. I did know that there was a fish and chip shop here. I used to frequent this one. And it's interesting, whenever I'm thinking about how to depict a place, one of the often overlooked senses is smell. And I think writers are often onto the idea that you should use all the senses and think about how a place smells. But very often the smells don't match up with what you think at all. So we were sitting there in the gardens next to Tottenham Court Road, but actually the smell was fishy.
Yes, and that is sort of leading us also to what used to be at the space of the sort of mock garden, if you want to. At some stage, this was known as the Little Sea because there was a pond there, and but that has been covered up at some stage and it was sort of turned into ground. But you see, here we are on a sort of side street.
Yes, which side street are we on? We've got Pollock's Toy Museum right there. That should street. We're on Whitfield Street.
Yes, well, linking it back to the garden. And you see the whole idea behind these tours, you know, it could be sort of straightforward and us just going from one shop to the next and just taste food, really, and transform this sort of bit in a food orgy. But that would be a bit too easy in that way. And so I always try to incorporate those corners that people might not have seen before. And this is really one of those as well. And we are having a look here at Pollock's Toy Museum. And you can see all the outside. It's very quirky. You have the wooden part of the building. And then you have the mural, which is embodying the Toy Museum or Pollock story. So always within those tours, there is also a strong visual element. Because I always find when you do a walking toy, you know, there needs to be a bit of a sense of, maybe not drama is not the word I'm looking for, but again, a visual and something people can see. And pretty buildings usually fit the bill in that way. And you might also argue that that is, again, tying in with my interest in architecture.
Now, can I ask you, I was accused just yesterday, whilst eating my lunch in Brick Lane,
yep,
of being Russell Crowe. Do you think that I bear any resemblance to Russell Crowe? Because I was rather alarmed.
Well, it is a bit of a shocking comparison, but you know, I can see why people would go into that train of thought.
Is it a polite way of saying I look a bit knackered?
Not really. You should really ask me this question at the ending. I don't want to put you in a bad mood.
Oh,
already,
dear.
Because, you know, we still need to sort of survive your first matcha toast.
Well, we're on the corner of Goodge Street and Charlotte Street now. I have to wait because there's matcha traffic. I think I'm going to stop doing that.
The more puns you do, the more, I think, intensity of a matcha treat I will give you. So now we're already on level two.
That was unmistakably a threat.
Another one.
Over the road there, we can see Moba, we can see the Roots Juicery, we can see Frack's Lobster Shack. What a great name.
So we'll just cross in fact.
The post office tower behind us. Does anyone call it the post office tower anymore? I think I've just dated myself. Here we are, we're in Moba. A couple of long benches, straight away the delicious Japanese smells. Soy and ginger.
Hi.
Can I please get a matcha croissant to go, please?
Yes, sure.
Now, if these are the matcha croissants in question, they are very much like your average croissant, except they've got a sickly green colour to them. They look as though they might contain kryptonite.
Don't let the green colour fool you. I'm sure you'll like it once we taste it.
What am I actually letting myself in for here? This this isn't looking good.
No, you will enjoy it, I'm sure. And a croissant is a good sort of gateway drug. It works quite nicely. It's not too strong, and it's something you will be a bit familiar with.
I'm just going to check with the member. Can I just ask you a question? You work here and you sell these matcha croissants. Do you eat the matcha croissants?
Yeah, I used to eat it because I love the matcha, so it's all really, really good.
Okay, then. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Right. Out we come. Oh, there's an enormous crack in their window. Clearly somebody was not happy about something that they ate in the matcha croissant shop. That's not a good sign.
Oh dear, no, don't go there. So here we can see the matcha croissant. Well, you listeners cannot see it, but we'll try to describe it as best as we can.
I'm going to photograph this object for you. You're going to see the croissant popping up now if you're listening via Acast. I would like your opinion, please. Is this something that you would willingly put in your face? It could be mashed frog in there. Nothing good is green in food like this. Green vegetables, oh yes. Green croissant, no sir.
So you can see it's your traditional croissant, but it's sort of adapting Asian flavours to it.
I can't see that.
And I can see
a green colour.
Now, yep, I'm now going to cut off a piece for you and you'll try it. And so what I should tell you about the matcha flavour, it is sort of balancing out the sweetness. It can be very bitter, and it is a bit of an acquired taste, but we'll now sort of... I'll take over the microphone and keep it for you. And I'll let you try the first bit, and you can see it's pretty green inside.
Right, that looks like artificial grass green.
So, while you're munching on it, I'm trying to continue this show, although I'm not... I have no clue where to go with it. At the moment, you seem to make a sort of okay face, so you're not too skeptical about it yet. You're not too fond of it.
Well, let me report back. That tastes to me as though it's got a very delicate background flavour, a little bit like the way that saffron affects food. It's that subtle, not even quite warmth, but it sort of lurks there in the background and lets you know that things are good. That's a very subtle... I was expecting to be kicked about the chops, to be quite honest.
Well, you see, I told you this was going to be a good sort of gateway drug. You'll have sort of different levels of intensity.
Well, yes, I wouldn't describe that as intense at all. It's almost unnoticeable.
Yeah, no, so it's very subtle here in this croissant, and... So you'll have different levels, different strongness, and later on you'll also be drinking a matcha-based beverage. So we'll see how you fare with that one.
Well, I need stronger drugs, and I need them now.
We saw that you were interested about matcha.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So we're bringing you the matcha banh mi, which is the special sandwich in Vietnam.
Yeah. Oh.
All right. So there is some brisket inside, some sweet chili mayonnaise. Pickles, you will like it.
You're a wonderful person, thank you.
Yeah,
you're welcome.
Would you describe the taste of matcha in this as being stronger than in the croissant?
It's a bit different, actually. Because of the sweetness of the croissant, the matcha does not have the same taste in the baguette. It's a bit more, how you can say, in French it would be not sour, you know, it will be a bit more, I don't find my word in English, I can say it in French.
we can try in French.
The matcha in the croissant is more, I don't like when it's too sweet, the matcha. I think it has to be more like alone, mm-hmm. You know, something not sweet, something not dessert. I prefer it like the bread. You should try it, and you will tell me how you...
Well, I'm going to do exactly right. That. Right, we're going to dive in.
You're welcome. Yeah. Enjoy. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Well, this will be your treat.
Now I see why you're doing these tours.
Well, I must say, usually people don't come out of the shops running up to me with extra food. So this is really an exception, and we should really applaud Moba in that way. And they've been very... kind. And I think it's the star power of having Russell Crowe with me. And so that's working in our favor. And probably now they will be very disappointed when they don't see Russell Crowe tweeting about their matcha croissant or matcha banh mi baguette. But you see the baguette you're just tasting, it's quite interesting. Because I told you, this place specializes in fusion food. And it's French and Vietnamese. So you can see the baguette will obviously be the French component to this, and it's sort of linking it France history as a colonizer of Vietnam, but then all the filling will be Asian.
The Sound of London, Londonist Out Loud with N. Quentin Wolfe. Listen free every week on your favorite podcast platform. Subscribe via iTunes and get great extra content at londonist.com. Tweet the show at Londonist Sound and see pictures of all our guests on the Londonist Out Loud stream on Instagram.
We've just passed down under an archway, the Newman Arms black-fronted pub, and we passed down through a black archway to the left of the building, moving between the buildings, passing down one of those glorious old passageways where the flagstones take the undulating shape of the ground beneath them. And we emerged on the sort of a cobbled back way that looks like it might be used as a film set for something Victorian. Now we are on...
We're coming close to East Castle Street, and we're slowly sort of making our way towards Oxford Street, heading to the heart of Soho for a matcha latte. And while we do so, I'm going to show you a very quirky building. On Oxford Street, which you might not have noticed a certain element before. So hopefully I'll be able to surprise you.
You know what we need to know right now, and I remember there being an article on Londonist about this in the last year or two, the meaning of the pub name, the Blue Posts, because there are a lot of Blue Posts.
Yes, there is another one, and funnily enough that you mention it, because the other Blue Post features in the route of my new Art Deco tour, which I just launched, and that's Art Deco in the West End. You couldn't have planned this better for the plug. Brilliant.
But we still don't know what the Blue Posts refers to.
Yes, well, some theories say hunting ground posts and sort of letting you know about the area. But
as in you would stake out the hunting area and Blue Posts mean keep away?
Yes. And the second sort of theory behind those Blue Posts is that they would be sort of the equivalent of modern-day taxi ramps, but you would use them to hire sedan chairs. Which is probably the most likely explanation for them.
Diggers and cranes right in the heart of the West End here. That can mean only one thing. Well,
yes,
it means several
cross-rail.
Things. Cross-rail, of course.
Yeah. So while we're standing here on this quiet-ish corner of Oxford...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
street.
So, who are you trying to kid?
Yeah, exactly.
I can see 200 people from where I'm standing.
Yes, well, not quite, but you're exaggerating a bit, but it's not too busy considering. But actually, if you look up onto the other side of the street, at the very top of the building, you'll be actually able to see a beaver there. A small statue.
I'm so sorry.
Have you ever noticed that one before?
My eye was lingering over a store there called Harmony Adult Store. And what did you want me to look at?
That's not what I wanted you to have a look at.
Okay,
there
yes.
we go. And this used to be a hat shop. And at the back you had the hat factory, for example. So that's why you have those odd four beavers that top. So there is one at the very top, and you can see three more on the sides, for example.
Beavers, the connection being the beaver tail hat?
Yes, and links to fur and all those things. And if you want to discover a bit more about this shop and its history, well, you'll have to come onto the tour.
What a thumping great hole Crossrail has put there.
Well, there's a little shortcut we are going to pass by the Harmony shop, but we won't be going in. That would be a complete different tour.
Have you considered it as a possibility?
No, I know before I said about crazy schemes, but I don't think that's necessarily the direction I want to head in, although there might be a market for it. But as we know, with Soho being gentrified, quickly, before we know it, all those elements will probably have moved out. And
I should explain. We're walking through a passageway that's about 4 foot wide, and ahead of us there's three people with helium-filled balloons, but they're not your usual size balloons. These are at least 2 feet wide each, and they've got an enormous cloud of balloons over their heads. They're surely going to lose about 50% of them going through there.
Well, that's... You know, it's a very nice sort of representation of London and Soho. You never know what you're going to see, and keep your eyes open.
Have you been in doing this stuff long enough to have spotted that gentrification for yourself?
I think it's becoming more and more evident. Yes, you'll notice that lots of sort of young places are moving in. And also while we're walking here we have the back of the hat shop.
Oh, yes, we're at the rear end of Henry Heath.
Yes, and this is where they would have produced all their hats.
Can we stick some dates on that? No.
No. No, I can give them to you later.
Out onto Wardour Street, junction of Wardour and Knowle. And we're turning left. We can see the George pub to our right. Well, there's a lot of good-looking food and drink occurring around here. We're outside a ham shop. Cured ham, by the looks of it. Hand-carved.
Yep, but that's not what we're after.
Are we sure? It might be what we're after.
No.
Judging by the previous place, what we've got to do is buy something small and sit outside and look interested.
Yes. As I said, rarity.
Soho, for me, is very much characterised by these many interesting alleyways that are... Well, they're thoroughfares. They're really heavily used. Day and especially night. Past another adult store. I mean, that's probably not worth noting in Soho, is it?
No. Well, as I said, maybe give it a couple more years and you won't see them as such. But let's hope Soho retains some of its character.
Well, people will still need to buy adults, surely. I presume that's what they sell in adult stores.
Yeah. But I guess people will be using online more and more.
I find it very difficult to imagine that people will want to buy adult content online. Seems very unlikely. We're heading into a shop. Oh, it's Jazzy.
Yep, there we go.
Oh, we can just chill then, can't we?
Yeah! We can do this forever.
There are cups hanging from a rope here. These signs are wood. And the ceiling tiles are hung at all sorts of different levels and have been made to look like, or in fact may even be, charcoal wood. Got a very earthy feel.
Yeah, no, it's a very nice place.
No, this doesn't look remotely Japanese, though.
No, well, once again, you see the matcha flavour has been adopted by the whole wild world, and, it's not strictly Japanese anymore as such.
What is the name of the place we're in?
my Soho. Thank you. No worries. Can we actually get to your matcha lattes?
Okay. So you're telling me that the matcha latte is the next level up. This is stronger stuff.
Yes, well, we're still going with the latte, so it has still the milk in it, so it will be a bit more palatable to you. Because some people will sometimes just drink the tea just with water and it's frothed up, and that can be very strong. And it looks very soupy and almost a bit like spinach water. That's even a bit more of an acquired taste.
Tell us everything you know about matcha in the time we've got before our lattes arrive.
Well, yes, it's popularized in Japan initially, sort of via the tea ceremony, the very formal one, and then later on it gets adopted by the larger population, and now it's really quite common, and it's seen as very sort of healthy. But I have a feeling by all the things that we are adding it to, we're not necessarily keeping it healthy. So let's not try to pass off matcha cakes, matcha chocolate, you know, matcha donuts as healthy. So I don't think it works that way.
Yeah, because they're not matcha good for you, are they?
Yeah, there we go. Still counting. We'll see how many more you can bring.
We are not amused.
Oh, no, I am.
Oh. When you have a cup
of
tea...
Not many things can annoy me.
When you have... you don't know me too well, do you? When you have a cup of tea, then, in Japan, is it? Are we talking about matcha in the sense that we talk about, like, Yorkshire tea here? Is it, like, the standard thing, or is it a special tea even there?
It is special there as well, but you'll also have your regular green tea. But, you see, as it's made out of the leaves, which are ground up, it's quite expensive as well.
I suppose what I'm keen to know, with my London hat, with very inconsiderate saxophonist there, just launched into his solo willy-nilly.
Yep.
Very impetuous. Well, I'll just let him ask the questions.
So, what was the question?
Yeah, I'll ask the question. Yeah, okay. So, with my London hat on, then, I'm curious about the London connections. Clearly, we found some places here that are selling matcha as an ingredient in their wares. What about other Japanese connections in London? We've got a podcast coming from Chinatown. What about Japanese London? There's no clearly, there's no Japantown.
Yeah, no, there isn't. But there are plenty of Japanese places or themed places that you can visit. So the British Museum, for example, has a very nice Japanese gallery.
Is that things we've stolen from Japan?
I won't answer that one.
You work for the British Museum, don't you?
I'm one of the volunteers at the museum, and so no comment on that. But I, for full disclosure, I've been doing the Japan eye-opener tour at the museum for the past 5 years. So that's a free half-hour introduction to the Japanese connection. And that's sort of what got me sort of started on exploring all things Japanese.
Oh, here we go. Here are matcha lattes. We're doing a matcha tour of London.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. What are we going to experience when we taste matcha? What sort of flavour is it?
Oh, you're going to experience probably the plant green tea, which is really nice. And obviously the milk, because you got the matcha latte, so it's really nice to taste. Sometimes people add a little bit of honey then, so it's just to make... For some people the flavour is a bit strong, but it's amazing, amazing taste. So
taste yourself and try it.
Thanks very much.
Let me know what you think.
Well, he's the sceptic.
We're going to try the latte then. Yannick, would you mind doing the honours with the mic here? I'm going to taste this unsweetened.
Go for it.
And I should say that this has been presented in a glass cup, and it's got that traditional leaf design that you get on top of your latte or cappuccino.
The moment of truth is here.
That's a very strange experience, and I'll tell you exactly why. Firstly, what's going into my mouth texture-wise is a frothy cup of coffee, but the taste that's being delivered is a delicious cup of green tea.
Yes, it's very earthy and it's not too sweet, so it can get a bit bitter, hence why people will mix in vanilla syrup or honey, for example, as the gentleman has just been telling you.
Yeah, honey would make a lot of good sense because that earthy flavour, I see what you mean about earthy.
Yep, so it's sort of balancing it all out, but you know, traditionally you would go without any additional flavourings.
Well, that's not bad at all. Yes, it's got a dark aftertaste. So you're left feeling as though there's some body left in your mouth. Not some body left in your mouth, but some body left in your mouth.
Yeah.
Well, that's not bad at all.
Oh, you see, I'm trying to slowly convert you.
Yeah.
Hopefully by the end of the tour we'll have, convinced you to order matcha latte or any other matcha-flavoured goods for your own self.
Now,
being forced.
Are you a matcha importer? We should do full disclosure.
No, I'm not importing.
In your living room now, is there a stack of matcha crates?
No, unfortunately not, because it would be a bit like sitting on green gold, but no.
Well, that's not at all bad. I can officially recommend, if you want coffee that tastes like tea...
That's a good way to describe.
Then this is for you. That's a very specific market.
Yes.
You could just close your eyes and... No, that's not... We're not going to linger too much longer.
Londonist Out Loud is free every week. You can support the show and Londonist via the Londonist shop, where you'll find excellent gift ideas, including London postcard T-shirts, the Secrets of the Tube DVD, chunky logo mugs, tote bags, hoodies, the Inspector Sands tea, and the Londonist Oyster card holder. Treat yourself, support us, and share your love of London at londonist.com/shop.
Well, we've wended our way down to Piccadilly, and the route we've taken actually, and I know this area reasonably well, revealed to me all sorts of nooks and crannies that I haven't seen before. And it also revealed to me a Whole Foods shop in the weirdest of locations, really, for what is this? Actually a grocer's. But outside, what did we see?
Yeah, no, we... the Whole Foods is outside of Air Street, but it's been there now for 2 years. I think you must clearly come onto more tours and explore London a bit more. And is this you being sort of kept in your writer's den and not getting out and seeing the sunlight?
Well, because I haven't seen a Whole Foods store.
You've seen so many new things today. Yeah, you seemed a bit surprised. We saw a sign actually selling and advertising matcha as well. So you can see it is really taking over the whole world. And
well, that's a big extrapolation.
Yeah, no, it is getting popular and popular everywhere. So it's getting more common and common. And before we know it... you'll be able to order it everywhere. But a couple of years ago, this would have been sort of unthinkable, and you'd only find it in specialised places, such as the one we are popping in now. So we are here on Piccadilly, and we are going to visit a traditional Japanese confectionery shop. So you will see all those different treats and sweets are all individually packaged, and there is a very nice sort of view onto detail. So let's go in.
As we go in, we see exquisitely arranged plates of bisected treats. They look, at first glance, a little bit like dumplings, perhaps. You might imagine a small dumpling filled with apple or filled with lime jelly. That's what they look like. I'm sure the ingredients are far more complex.
Well, you have different varieties of sweets, and those are known as wagashi in Japanese, and they're sort of meant to be served with the tea ceremony as well. You will see that they are all individually wrapped, but also very sort of traditional for Japan. You will have an example of each, and all of those are, of course, the fake food with... that Japan sort of specializes in producing and putting in front of the restaurants. So you can see all those are sort of realistic examples, but they are fake. They are made out of plastic.
Oh, we're glancing around here. Yes. They look, if you imagine your custard cream or bourbon cream biscuit, but with some of the biscuit layer removed to allow you to inspect what it is that you're going to be consuming, there is a row of these inviting you to try out various different biscuits, langue de chat. That either means the language of the cat.
It is actually
the tongue of the cat.
Tongue of the cat.
The tongue of the cat.
So it's a French biscuit, but then again, it has been sort of adopted and adapted in a Japanese way with matcha, and we'll get one of these for you to try.
Now, these, I've got to say, these are not cheap.
No, but again, it sort of reflects the quality of the matcha which is being used, as well as sort of this place being a traditional shop and having roots in Kyoto.
Mm. And having a rent to pay on Piccadilly.
Yes, that as well.
And we are for a princely sum, which means I'm going to have to rush out to a cash point and empty my accounts. £2, I'll have you know, we are going to buy a cat's tongue with matcha in it.
Yep.
And it's described as two halves of rich butter cookies sandwiched with matcha green tea chocolate inside. Ah, so that's chocolate, that layer, with bright green.
Yep, so matcha will often be used in chocolate as well, and it's often combined with white chocolate, for example.
I've never set foot inside here, despite having worked in the area some years ago, when I think this place was already extant. It's worth a visit just for the eye candy, rather than the actual candy.
Well, that's it, really. It is very sort of very nice store, very traditional, and people often don't expect it to be here. And equally, it will also be a bit intimidating from the outside. But I think you are leading us right into sort of almost, for lack of a better word, the Dragon's Den, the green tea sweets display. And this has anything that you could sort of wish for in terms of matcha. So you've got the beautiful gift set. So if anyone that you know is really into it, you now know where you'll be able to get a present. But also in the background, you'll see tea bowls, for example, and the tea sets. But also in the background there, you'll see the traditional bamboo whisk, which will be used to froth up the matcha green tea powder. So it's known as a shazen in Japanese.
We're going to come to a conclusion, and I suspect the conclusion of this podcast is going to involve me shoving that green tea chocolate into my face.
That's the plan.
And it's worth mentioning, I guess, as well, that a couple of places we've passed on the way speak to a little bit more of a Japanese presence in this part of town than I realise. A Japanese publishing company. There is, of course, the Japan Centre on the other side of the street here on Piccadilly. Well, these are being paid for out of our enormous expenses budget. Well, it's a table just here.
Thank you very much.
Well, the moment of truth. From what we've tasted so far, my expectation is that this is going to look like a chocolate biscuit and taste like a cup of green tea.
That's for you to find out in a second, and have a go, and I'll hold the mic for you.
I'll tell you what, while this is going in the business end of things, would you like to let people know where they can find out more about these tours? And you've got some more Art Deco tours coming up as well, which sound very interesting.
So you can find out all about the green tea food tasting tour on my website, londonunraveled.com. And as you mentioned, yes, I have some new deco tours coming up, and I've just started with a new one, which is based in the West End. And it's sort of following in the footsteps of my Art Deco in Bloomsbury tour and the one I do in the Strand as well.
My response to the green tea biscuit, boom, this is happening. That is delicious, and it doesn't taste like it should be something else. That tastes very flavourful.
Yep.
Tastes like lilac looks.
It is very strong, and but here we've really come to the root of it. And while you've seen the sort of shops we've visited before, it's all sort of versions which have been adapted to other cuisines. While here, well, this is still a hybrid in a way as well, because it's taking the French element and sort of giving it a Japanese twist. But in terms of matcha, we've sort of come to the sort of holy grail of matcha, and where we'll find it in sort of the most authentic form.
It's reaching for peppery, but it's not quite, it doesn't have that heat.
It's a very interesting flavour. It's almost as if, I'm just going to hold on to something here, it's almost as if it's a unique flavour all of its own.
Well, it is certainly unique, and it is a bit of an acquired taste, but often once people have sort of given in and tried it, they will reach for it time after time, again and again. You know, it's a bit probably the green colouring, which is shocking people at first, because we sort of associate it really with green, with vegetable, as you see, but this is not vegetable-y at all, really. And I think I've just coined a new word there with
vegetable-y. Yes.
You've heard it here first on the Londonist podcast.
First and
there
last, yes.
Yes, as quickly as it came up.
Your website is?
LondonUnraveled.com.
It's as simple as that. Yannick Pucci, thanks very much indeed.
Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure.
My heart aches for some far off place. No one could have left you with your name, how you raised
them. And that's all for this week. My thanks for this week to Yannick Pucci. Thanks to Bernie Barkley. The human incidental music was by Songs from the Howling Sea. I'm in Quentin Wolfe.
This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.